Would you turn in your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 18? Oh, I forgot the special, the Ewing girls. Yes, we don't want to miss that. Hannah and Emma, please come. Genesis 18, verses 17 through 19. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." And may the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. I am talking about the privileges of a godly man, although there are things in here, ladies, that are privileges for you as well, so you can listen in on the sermon this morning. And kids, you can also learn from it. So there's something here for everybody, although the remarks are mainly toward the men. And it's to encourage you men today. You have some great privileges as a child of God. And I want to point out a few of those from this passage this morning. But to set the setting here, God is about to rain fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah. He is about to wipe them out. But before he does this, he speaks to Abraham about his plans. In this passage, we see a glimpse of the special relationship that Abraham had with the Lord. And from this glimpse that is given to us from the scriptures, we have a snapshot of the relationship that any of us could have with the Lord. And that is the relationship that we all desire to have, that we all want to have. So let's pay close attention today and learn from Abraham and see what kind of intimate relationship we can have with the Lord. As you know, there are many advantages to being saved today. There are many advantages to being a Christian, and know that you are going to go to heaven when you die. Knowing that we are not going to hell ranks right up there at the top of the list. But knowing that there is a place that Jesus has been preparing for a very long time, boy, it's just an incredible thing when you stop and think about it. But not only is the Christian life exciting because of what our future holds, it's exciting today because we have a Savior who is present with us. We have His Spirit that indwells with us. We have been redeemed by His blood, and we live in fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It doesn't get any better than that. What a privilege we have that God who created the universe is still interested in His creation. The psalmist said, "What is man anyway that thou mindest him?" What is man that the God of the universe would consider man? And God considers not just mankind, He considers man individually. He considers you today. He knows you. And so we want to look at some of those privileges. First of all, the privilege of an intimate relationship with your father. I think few of us really grasp the significance and the truth of this intimate relationship that exists or God wants to exist between us and our Heavenly Father. These verses give us a little insight into this significance. Abraham looked with awe at the Lord, and he should. And we sang about that this morning, about an awesome God. We need to look at God that way. He is awesome. And we need to reverence Him. But verse 17 seems to indicate that God looked upon Abraham as a friend as well. Somebody that He would share things with. Jesus said to His disciples, "I have called you friends." Isn't that a tremendous thought that our Savior is willing to consider us His friend? And the Bible says that we have a friend, speaking about Jesus, who sticks closer than any brother ever could. We have friendship with Jesus. We have the privilege of calling God Abba or Father. If you are saved, you are on intensely intimate terms with the Lord. Now, this privilege of relationship involves divine discernment. In verse 19, God says, "I know him. I know him." Of all the people on the earth that God could have picked out to share what he was going to do with, to share his plans was with, he picked Abraham. And he says, I know him. You know, God knows you today. The Bible talks about how God knows you. He knows he numbers the hairs on your head. He knows every intimate detail about your life. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows you today. He knows your name. He knows where you live. He knows everything there is to know about you, and that knowledge that he has for us should drive us to a place of honesty and openness before him. It involves divine dialogue. Look at verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And then the chapter goes on, where the Lord comes down and he talks with Abraham, and they have this dialogue, they have this conversation. And God gives Abraham a tremendous opportunity here. As he says that he is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham begins to talk with God and says, God, are you going to destroy the whole place if there are 50 righteous people? And God says, no, I won't destroy it for 50 righteous people. And Abraham said, well, will you destroy it for 40? And God says, no, I won't destroy it for 40 righteous people. And they get all the way down to 10. And you know what Abraham is doing here? He is interceding. He is asking God to spare these people. He's praying to God on their behalf. And one of the greatest privileges, fathers, we have is the ability to be able to intercede and pray for those in our family, to be able to intercede for them and hold them up in prayer, and to pray for our friends and our neighbors. In a sense, we become Jesus to these people as we intercede for them, because that's what Jesus does for us. He ever liveth to make intercession for his saints. We get to enter into that same kind of relationship that Jesus has with the Heavenly Father as we intercede for others. And it's been said that prayer changes things. It's true. But I have found that the thing that is most often changed in praying is the one who does the praying. I found out that as I kneel in prayer asking God to do certain things, I find that myself, I am changed by that encounter. And the more that you spend time before the throne of grace, you become like the one to whom you are praying. And Abraham here is asking God to spare these people. He's not, could you pardon the expression, Jewing God down. What he is doing here is he's got the heart of God, he's got the mind of God, and he's saying the things that God wants him to say, the things that God wants to hear. He's asking God to have mercy and to demonstrate his grace. He's coming to the place where God has changed him and that he is like the one that he is praying to. It involves divine decrees, verse 18, that Abraham would become a great and mighty nation, so much so that all the nations of the earth would be blessed by him. We have the privilege of enjoying God's plans and God's blessings. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Put yourself in that verse this morning. Think about that. Think about yourself as I read it again. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Put your name there, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God thinks about you. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him. God not only knows you, he thinks about you. And what he is thinking is how he can bless you, how he can put his peace into your life. What good thing can he do for you? Now, we may not know the path that we will go down. We may not know the path the Lord will lead us. But when God does the planning of those paths, we can be sure that there will be glorious avenues of spiritual might and power. Elijah is one of my favorite characters in all the Bible. He walked with God. He didn't know how God was going to take him. But all of a sudden, a chariot of fire comes down out of heaven, separating Elijah and Elisha and taking Elijah up into heaven in a whirlwind. What a ride. Demonstration of God's power and of his glory. Abraham, Job, Daniel, David, all of them had plans for their life, but God had something better, something that they could not even imagine. We talked about last Sunday night about how David wanted to build the temple for God, temple for the Lord, and this would be a monument of his service to the Lord. And although it was in his heart to do so, and he wanted to do so so desperately, God said, "No, David, I don't want you to build the temple. I have something better for you to do." And we think, what could be better than building the temple for God? And God says, "David, I want you to write the Psalms." And today that temple no longer stands, but the Psalms, we have the Psalms. And the Psalms will stand forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. And the Psalms have been a source of great comfort and joy and inspiration for people down through the ages. Probably most funerals contain somewhere in there the 23rd Psalm. The comfort that God brings through the Psalms, because God had something in store for David. God had a plan for David that David would not even imagine. Do you know that God has the same thing in mind for you? He has plans for you that you couldn't imagine in your wildest dreams. God has plans for your family, dads, that you don't even recognize yet. And they go beyond your wildest dreams and ideas. And God has plans for our church that go beyond what we could think or we could imagine. These are the privileges of the man of God. The privilege that is ours in an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Number two, the privilege of an involvement relationship with your family. Abraham's privileges extended beyond his relationship with the Lord. And according to the last phrase of verse 13, all the world would be blessed because of this man. What a privilege to be used of God to touch the lives of those around you. What a privilege to have an impact upon people that are not even born yet. Yet that is how the Lord used this man and how he intends to use us to influence the lives of those around us, the lives of people who are not even born yet. It's the grace of God who allows us to be involved in their lives. How are we involved? We're involved, first of all, through our counsel. Verse 19, "For I know him that he will command." The word command carries the idea of issuing orders. The godly man has the great privilege of counseling others to follow the commands of the Word of God. We have been given the great privilege and responsibility of sharing God's Word with others. We will share his word with generations that will follow us by the testimony that we live. We have the privilege of passing on our words. As we pass through this world, we will leave behind a trail of heavenly counsel for others to follow. I think it was Glenn that said to me a few weeks back, I was talked about how fathers influence us, and he says, "You know, even to this day, I think, what would my dad think?" That is not uncommon for people to think, "I wonder what my dad would think of me. I wonder what my dad would think of this." Thinking, "Would my dad be proud of me?" Guys, that is a powerful thing that you have, that you pass on to your children, and even when you are gone, they are going to think about you. So walk the path now that you can be proud of, because they will follow you down that path. We are involved also through our character. Verse 19. "For I know him that he will command his household after him." After him has the idea of leaving a legacy for others to follow. In other words, it isn't just our words that is important. It is our walk, our actions that matter greatly. Some men don't say a lot with their words, but They speak loudly with their actions. We have a great duty to walk in integrity. Just as our speech is important, so is our steps. It has been said, what you do speaks so loud that I cannot hear what you say. One of the greatest privileges of the Christian life is to be able to walk like God. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, he saith, he that saith he abideth in him ought also so to walk, even as he walked. And then we've hinted at this point already, we are involved through our continuation. Verse 19, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. The godly man does not have to fear that his involvement with his family will be in vain or will be a waste of time. That is not true at all. This verse points out the fact that the godly man can invest in his life without fear, knowing that in due time the Lord will see to it that a harvest is reaped for his glory. What you do and say will not die when you die. Your involvement with those around you will continue to bear fruit long after you have departed from this world. That is the privilege of a godly man. We have been given the privilege of being the headship, being the leadership within the home and within the church. It's a tremendous responsibility that the Lord places upon your shoulders. Tremendous privilege, but at the same time, tremendous responsibilities. You have privileges, sorry ladies, that you won't quite have. You've got other privileges. But men, you also have privileges that your wives will never have. With those privileges comes great responsibility. And number three this morning, the privilege of an investment relationship with your future. An investment relationship with your future. Abraham doesn't realize it yet, but his investment in the generations unborn are going to make the Lord's promises to him a reality. Because Abraham understood and he walked in the privileges of a godly man, his future was far more glorious than his past. Think about that. The greatest things that are going to be done through your life are still ahead of you. They're still in the future. Your investment will continue to pay dividends. It will do so today, but even more so in the future. They will continue to do so forever. You and I today continue to enjoy the investment that Abraham made with his life. We are blessed because of him. He is the father of our faith today. We are blessed because of his life and because he lived a godly life that was an example for us to follow. This investment relationship is guaranteed by God's promises. That which he hath spoken of him indicates that God is as good as his word. The Lord will honor his word to us. The Lord will keep his promise to you. He's always promised to honor his word. And then it's guaranteed by the Lord's presence, by God's presence. The word Lord is used here, referring to the name of the Lord. And the particular name of the Lord used here means the self-existent one. The one who fills all things, sees all things, and knows all things. In other words, God is being watched over by the one who is always there. The one who will never leave him. The one who will never forsake him. What a privilege to exist in the presence of the one who will never leave us. You can't leave his presence. Psalmist said, if I ascend up into heaven, he's there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, he's there. You cannot get away from God's presence. He will never, ever leave you. That is a privilege of living in the one who is always there, all-knowing, all-powerful, unchanging. The one who knows you more intimately than anyone else and who still refuses to leave. and it's guaranteed by God's power. Scripture says, may bring upon Abraham. We still serve a God who is able to do everything he has promised and more. To him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Your future is safe in the hands of the Lord. Invest everything that you have in him and walk in his ways and do his work today. He will see that the harvest is matured and then gathered for his glory. Thank God for the privilege of being a godly man. Thank God for the privilege of being one who can be a man after God's own heart. Strive for such. Be a man who fulfills God's design for making man. Become intimate with God. Be involved with those around you for his glory. And always invest your life in the future. Those are just some of your privileges as a man of God. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? I would just like every man here today, whether you're a father or not, if you're a man here today, if you would right now where you are sitting, just either whisper or say in your heart, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being a godly man. Give me the grace to speak the words and to walk the path that others who are still coming will follow. Lord, I pray for every man here that that would be the case for them. Lord, that they would have the grace to walk with you. And Lord, I pray that you would do great and mighty things in them and through them. I pray, Lord, that you would pour out a blessing upon them, a blessing of multiplication and fruitfulness, as was evidenced in the life of Abraham. Lord, may there be many here today who would leave a legacy that their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren would be proud to follow. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.